Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, it's time for Business Leaders of Today. Business Leaders of Today is presented by Tess Turin, Digital Account Executive with CBS Local, and Chris Horn, co-founder of Vocal Logic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Leaders of Today. Our show introduces the brightest, sharpest, and best business leaders around our great city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Tess Turin with CBS Local Media, your host, and I have next to me co-host Chris Horn with Vocal Logic. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And you?
Not too bad.
How was that drive-in today?
It was pretty good. We it's the whole allergy season is really starting to take effect now that we're in full spring.
I'm telling you, I know it's tough on a lot of people. Are you getting ready for that Easter holiday?
Indeed.
Well, each week we like to start off the show with a testimony. And everybody that knows me knows I'm into marketing. I am the Atlanta marketing lady. And each week I like to start off with a motivational quote. And anybody that's ever talked to me about marketing, they know I always tell them to diversify their portfolio. You know, don't put all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. But in lieu of the Easter holiday, it's the only time of year when it is safe to put all your eggs in one basket. And that is my testimony of the week. Well, with further ado, we have an excellent show for you all today. Our guests in the studio are Vicki Millender-Morrow, Chief Operating Officer for Girl Scouts of Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming out today.
Thanks for having me.
We also have Nikita Taylor, which is the Marketing Manager for Girl Scouts of Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Thank you.
Wonderful. We also have Derek Griffin with B-Phonics. He is the Marketing Consultant for B-Phonics. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Dana Jewel Harris from Next Steps Youth Entrepreneur Program. Yes. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Tess.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to start out the show today with Vicki from the Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta. So tell us, obviously, the Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta, everybody knows the Girl Scouts of America. You guys have so much going on. 43,000 girls, 17,000 volunteers in 34 counties around our great city of Atlanta, Georgia. Tell us a little bit more about the Girl Scouts of Atlanta.
Well, at Girl Scouts, everybody knows us, and mostly what they think of when they see us is, where are the cookies? So we're really known for our cookies, but we also are known for STEM programs and outdoor camping opportunities. So we have a lot going on in Girl Scouts to really build the skills and empower girls to be phenomenal young women as they age.
So for the people that may be listening and aren't familiar with STEM, what does STEM stand for?
Science, technology, engineering, and math. And what we find is, you know, you've heard over and over that our country is at really in need of more and more STEM graduates, people that understand technology and have great analytical skills. I was an engineer in a prior profession as well. And what we determine is that kids really get bored with traditional classroom exercises around science, technology, engineering, or math. But they really come alive when you do more fun and playful events, and that's what we try to specialize in at Girl Scouts, creating opportunities, whether it's on a campsite or coding or introducing music into it so that they even forget or not even aware that they are learning more about science or math.
Interesting. What age group do generally girls get involved with, you know, Girl Scouts?
So we have Girl Scouts that are from kindergarten to 12th grade. And so we start to infuse or introduce, I should say, all of our programs, whether it's STEM or camping or the entrepreneurial business of cookie selling, from the very beginning for our kindergartners all the way up to our 12th graders.
Is there like a Girl Scouts like boot camp that you go through?
Well, you know, I think we refer to it more as DAISY, our daisies are our beginning groups, and they begin to do journeys and earn badges. So that may be one way of thinking of boot camp. But you know,
what I've noticed and love about the Girl Scouts of Atlanta in particular is that you have activities geared to each age group that are appropriate, you know, all the way from kindergarten up into the high school ages. So that's a great benefit. So it's not just for the little girls. I mean, you could take them straight up through high school.
Absolutely. And we find that it's phenomenal to take a girl from the very beginning when she starts kindergarten and watching her evolve. And she begins to become a mentor for other young girls and develop phenomenal skills. And our highest award is something that we call the Gold Award. So we really encourage our girls to start earning their badges and participating in all types of camping and entrepreneurial as well as STEM opportunities, and at the end culminating that with a gold award.
Is this basically like an after-school activity? Like how do... I mean, I have a 3-year-old daughter, so...
Let's get her started.
In a couple of years, she's going to, you know... But, I mean, is it like they go to kindergarten, and then after they have, like, an after-school thing? Like, how does that work?
So Girl Scouts is offered in many different ways. And so we have after-school programs. We have church-based programs. We have just community-based. We partner with other community partners, whether it's Boys and Girls Clubs, all types of organizations to offer Girl Scouting. So... Okay. Yes, we're everywhere.
Cool.
Right. Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today, sponsored by CBS Local Media and Vocal Logic Business Telephone Systems. And we are speaking to Vicki Millender-Morrow, Chief Operating Officer for the Girl Scouts of Atlanta. So I've read somewhere, and these are impressive numbers, 400,000 hours of community service donated, more than 144 boxes of cookies to members of the military. So you're a nonprofit, obviously, Girl Scouts of Atlanta, but you also give back so much to the community. Can you elaborate a little bit for us on that?
Yes, I can. Sorry. I think that one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that Girl Scouts, yes, we are a nonprofit, but the bigger thing is that what we teach our girls is to always give back. And that can be whether it's through the Girl Scout Cookie Program. As you mentioned, Smiles for Military is a program that we have where you can donate boxes back to the armed services virtually. They send them off and they get their boxes of cookies. Community service, you know, that's something that is very important to us. As Vicki mentioned, the Gold Award is the highest award that a Girl Scout can receive in Girl Scouts. And the Gold Award is basically an opportunity for the girls to create a project based around giving back to the community. And in that, they work on it from a year plus. And at the end of it, we honor them because they've earned this award. It's not something that they get. It's something that they have to earn. So community service is a big thing for us. And like you said, because we are a nonprofit, it's always important for us to teach them that you have to give back. And it's a part of being a leader. Girl Scouts is a leadership organization. At the end of the day, we teach the girls to be leaders. Yes, we have the Girl Scout Cookie Program. We have our camps. We have STEM program. We teach entrepreneurial skills through the cookie program. But at the end of the day, to be a leader, you always have to give back. And so that's why those numbers are those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was 144,000 boxes of cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is that last year we actually gave over 160,000 boxes back to the military. I think, to be exact, it was a little bit over 163,000.
How many of those were Thin Mint?
Probably half of them.
That's my favorite.
What is the Smiles for Military? What is that program?
It's like, basically a Girl Scout. She sells cookies, whether through booth or through our digital cookie program. And when you go in to purchase the cookies, you can say, I would like to donate 4 boxes to the military. I'd like to donate 6. And you pay for those boxes. And then through a vendor, we actually ship them to the armed forces. So they get cookies. It's like a taste of home for them. That's the best way that they describe it when they receive them, whether they're in Afghanistan or somewhere else. It's a taste of home. Everybody knows that Girl Scout cookies is a taste of home. And so that's why we have the program.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So I know Volunteer is a big initiative for the Girl Scouts of Atlanta this year. And, you know, a lot of parents, a lot of moms, you know, they tend to think that, you know, they don't have enough time or, you know, it's a full-time job to volunteer. But I noticed that, you know, even just doing some research on your website, there's different levels of volunteering. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate for the listeners out there on the volunteering opportunities?
Sure. So volunteering, as you know, it takes time. And so what we're attempting to do now is make it more pinpointed for the person. Usually what happens is with Girl Scouts, if you get the girl, you're going to get the mother. But as you know, with times changing, a lot of women are working 9-to-5 jobs like myself. And we don't have the same time as maybe my mother had when she had me, where she was a stay-at-home mother and she could volunteer 8 to 10 hours a week.
Sure.
That's not the case these days. You have a mother and a father. They're both working. So what we're trying to do is provide more opportunities where you volunteer maybe at this particular event, or you volunteer once a month at a particular troop meeting. But just trying to keep up with the times and so that it's easier to volunteer with our organization. You don't necessarily have to sign up to be a troop leader per se, because that is a daunting thing. So it's more so based around the individual and allowing them to pick and choose what would best fit their schedule.
Mm-hmm. So, Vicki, in working with a youth organization, what do you think makes a strong leader as you develop into future, you know, female roles and leadership in the community?
Well, you know, there are so many aspects of leadership, but what we want to teach our girls early on, and we would start to begin some of these skills with our cookie program, and people sometimes forget that it's really intentional creating that program. So we work on decision making. So our girls have an opportunity to figure out how they're going to sell cookies or where they're going to sell cookies or how they're going to strategize. They also get a chance to develop great people skills. We think for any leader to be successful, it's important to understand people, to figure out how to work with people, how to do things in a collaborative way, and also how to, for lack of a better description, close the deal. Mm-hmm. So they develop great sales skills. We think also that developing great financial skills. And so in the process of collecting cookie money and counting the money and deciding what to do with it, that is another skill that's developed. And then last but not least, when I think about how the world is changing, having digital skills and e-commerce skills are really integrally important. So that's why we launched this year our digital cookie business, allowing girls to set up a website that has their own store where they can actually sell cookies online. So these are some of the skills, but, you know, compassion for people, giving back, as Nikidra mentioned, decision-making, financial acumen, and, you know, the new digital skills are all very important while always keeping in mind people.
All right. Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin with CBS Local Media and Chris Horn, the co-founder of VocalLogic. We're speaking with Vicki Melinder Morrow, with the CEO, COO of Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta. Tell me, what are some other ways that businesses can get involved with the Girl Scouts and help out?
Well, we've mentioned just a minute ago volunteering, and mm-hmm. so that's an important way. But one of the things that we find so many businesses have really gotten excited about our Second Century Circle organization, or I should say movement. Girl Scouts was founded over 103 years ago, and so that's where the name comes, for this second century of building girls of courage, confidence, and character. We've developed the Second Century Circle movement or group. And in order to be involved there, individuals start by supporting financially for $1,000 and up, and businesses start to support at a $10,000 and up level. And so that gives us a way to really underwrite many of the Girl Scout programs and to offer Girl Scouting to girls that are in more underserved communities where they may not traditionally be able to afford or they may not have the troop leaders, so that we're able to offer those programs to all girls.
Okay. And for anyone who's listening that is would like to get more information on the Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta, like if they want to get involved or if they have a daughter like myself that might be interested in joining up, how can they get some more information?
Yes, if they visit girlscoutsatl.org, there's a wealth of information there from volunteering and how to get involved with the organization.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next we have Derek Griffin with B-Phonics. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking.
I'm very interested to hear about this this technology that you guys have been working on. Tell me a little bit about B-Phonics.
Okay. Real quickly, I'd like to ask a question. How many in the room actually have a cell phone? Everybody raise your hand. That's 100%. Okay. It's all mobile-based at the end of the day. As you all would recognize in today's society, mobile phones, from the children to the grandparents to the parents, everyone has access to mobile capability. Well, B-Phonics is one of those technologies that helps to enhance the mobile experience and to improve proximity marketing is the term for businesses, and to improve the experience of consumers within those businesses. Hypothetically speaking, it's more like if you were in your store and your favorite store, and you were on the website the day before and making a purchase, and you put it in your cart, for example, but you didn't complete the sale or the purchase of that item. But now you're out shopping, you go to the store, and because you're a part of this technology of B-Phonics, the store immediately sends a signal to your phone to remind you, by the way, you didn't finish the purchase of this item, and it is available in the store today.
That's what I call buyer's remorse.
That's called peer pressure from my phone.
So, you know, that's just an example of how dynamic this concept is. Let me help you with this. In a mobile phone, you already have in that phone your GPS capability, which is called location services, basically. You have the high-def Wi-Fi. You know, when you go to certain stores that provide the Wi-Fi technology, you can use their Wi-Fi to go online, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the B-Phonics is really based on what they call iBeacon. iBeacon is the technology itself that was designed by Apple. Apple said, hey, let's do something that's low maintenance, low cost, that allows what they call push marketing. In other words, a one-way direct signal from that iBeacon to a person's mobile phone to tell you whatever they want to tell you.
So you're telling me that Apple came out with something that was low maintenance and low cost.
You got it. You got it.
That's amazing.
You got it.
All right. Well, what are these beacons do? How do they work?
Well, the beacons themselves are very small devices. We call them antenna at the end of the day. And they look like a little quarter-sized piece that you use internally. For example, GPS is designed for external signals, correct? And it's geolocation for GPS, meaning it tells you where you are geographically within a certain area. The iBeacon is a simple antenna. It's not geo-based, but when you're inside a building, it actually can direct you or send you information that's going to be enhancing your experience wherever you are. So, for example, that antenna can send out a signal as far as 250 feet from its location. Your best signal would be within 50 feet. It's very strong. But at the end of the day, the idea is to get you, as a consumer, all the important, quote-unquote, discounts, savings, special offers, you know, because you're engaged in that technology. So, therefore, that antenna is a Bluetooth type of technology. It's Bluetooth LE, okay, low energy. Very, very little energy used in the battery in this antenna. It could last for almost 2 years.
Wow.
Because it's not, you know, the big, massive type of technology that you're experiencing today. And so, therefore, because of that, they can put them throughout the store. They can put them in the ceilings. They can put them on walls. Very inconspicuous. You wouldn't see them at all. But at the end of the day, it's enhancing your experience when you come into that store that you love. Now, the key for that technology to work is that you have to have an app, an application that's associated with what? That beacon. It doesn't just force itself into your phone unless, of course, you have the app to engage. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of mobile apps on your phone anyway. I mean, mobile apps are so awesome. People have become gazillionaires with mobile apps. Let's just keep it real. I enjoyed my Domino's and Pizza Hut app. I don't even have to call the store anymore. You just place the order. It knows where you're located. Next thing you know, they're delivering your pizza. I talk to nobody. I mean, that's awesome. So, again, what Beacon does, it just says to the business owner as well, here's the real benefit to them. It'll let me know my most loyal customer has just walked in the store. So the associate will see that information, and guess what that associate will do? Immediately gravitate towards that individual and start appealing to their shopping needs.
I see. So it's kind of like when you sit down at a casino table and you've been there quite a few times, and then you swipe that card and they come walking over like, oh, how are you doing?
Exactly.
Kind of the same concept?
You got it. You got it. So really it enhances the opportunity to increase their sales, customer loyalty, as well as bring a wonderful experience to your consumer who needs more information on what's what, what's available, what's out, when can I get it, and it's right there coming to your cell phone that you're emotionally attached to.
Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today, sponsored by CBS Local Media and VocalLogic Business Telephone Systems, and we are speaking with Derek Griffin from Beephonics Marketing Consultant. So tell us. I know it's kind of there's a lot of legs in this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to get the business owner on. If you could just break it down, you have to get the business owner on board.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the business owner has to purchase the antennas. Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now is this because I've seen some brochures and it almost looked like a flash drive. Is that the antenna?
Yes.
Okay. Just
yes.
Wanted to make sure.
Yes.
So once they purchase the antenna, then they can basically behavioral target a vicinity of 200-300 feet around their location.
Somewhere between 250 is a max. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a low signal. It's not a very strong signal, but within this room, it would be very powerful.
So if somebody walks into,
oh yeah, or even walks by the store, like if you're in a mall,
sure,
and you have the app or so in your phone, it'll find up to 20 in the iOS platform for Apple phones. It can do up to 20 beacons at one time, sending messages out to your phone. It also supports Android, by the way. Android can do unlimited beacons, can hit its phone because it's more flexible in terms of its platform. But at the end of the day, what you're asking, Tess, is this. More than just the antenna itself, that business owner would have to have an app designed specifically for their store that they can tailor. They can tailor that app to do whatever they want it to do in terms of its messaging.
Gotcha.
Or in terms of what it wants to push, as you will, if you will, within their proximity.
And that customer would have to download that app.
That's correct.
In order for.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
It looks like, because I'm, you know, my marketing sensors are going off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting excited over here. So it looks like it really is kind of a loyalty kind of program in a sense.
Yes.
Where you're appealing to your customer base.
Yes.
Okay.
It has a loyalty element, but it also has, for any new customer that comes into your store, you promote the app so that you can take advantage of only through that particular mechanism special offers that they would offer.
Mm-hmm.
Simply to provide your store an opportunity to increase sales, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or at least promote a specific product that you want to increase in terms of sales. And therefore, if you have new customers on the app, now you can give out something special to them for joining the app and then create a loyalty base, if you will, from that standpoint. So it has that element of customer loyalty as well as the opportunity to enhance new customers.
So do you see this as possibly taking over coupons?
Not taking over, just adding to. It gives you that digital coupon,
mm-hmm.
tomato, that opportunity to, provide it through the digital space. and cut back on the paper, paperless right. society type thing.
Yeah. So when you push, because yes. it is a push marketing
yes,
effort,
ma'am.
When you push, how are you pushing? Are you pushing via text, via email? How are you actually pushing?
Well, the pushing is simple. In the app, you design the program on as to the message that you want to send, and then the signal being Bluetooth and being in sync with the antenna itself, the Bluetooth technology automatically transmits. It's a transmission. It transmits the message how you want it to look, whether it be in color, whatever it is. I mean, it's simple. And, of course, you all have experienced Bluetooth in your vehicles where it's wireless, but yet and still you can engage Bluetooth in many different ways. So what Bphonics does, it allows you to actually create an image that will come to your phone, and that image could be just about anything you want it to be. And the owner of that app can have either Bphonics design it for them, or it can be self-managed. You can go in just like with your website type technology. You can have a website company do it for you, or you can do your own website. Well, this particular app, if you have the intelligence or the wherewithal to go in and do it yourself. But Bphonics can help you as well to design that app to engage the customer as you see fit.
How do you track the conversions? I'm curious about that. Like, if I'm walking through a store and, you know, I get something that pops up and says, hey, this TV's on sale or something like that, and I end up going and buying it, is there a way, do you know, that the business owner can track that you bought it? Like, does it have my contact information, and they can verify it against who purchased things?
Yeah, there will be a database of sorts to be able to store information. However, the actual technology is designed for one way.
Okay.
It's not like the Big Brother is watching you type concept, which I think you're heading in, where it's going to, you know, trying to identify and say, okay, you know, it's primarily there to push information out. But of course, in the app itself would store whatever purchase they made. You would have your website to know based on them logging in as a, you know, as a patron of your services. It stores that information. It engages with your website as well. So, for example, if a business owner already has a website in place before they engage the Beacon technology, you can actually integrate the Beacon or the Bphonics technology with your website so that you have the access to the customer or consumer's information, their purchasing habits, things of that nature, and then capture that information to use it to your advantage for future purchases.
Now, I read somewhere that this technology is already in place in Europe,
yes.
Japan,
yes.
and now it's introducing here in the U.S.
Yes, it's strong in the U.S. as well. I'll give you an example. They're making a very large move in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, India, Ireland, you know, certain places in the UK. It's real popular overseas. It's here in the States. You got Major League Baseball looking at it right now, Macy's as well, your larger, companies and so forth and larger. But we're more so interested in trying to get it to the smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
To take advantage of what these bigger retailers and bigger type of businesses are looking at. It's one of those things. It's very, very affordable. It's not expensive at all. The ROI would be awesome once you understand how to use it effectively to increase the purchasing of the consumer and creating the loyalty as well. You're going to benefit tremendously from it. So I strongly recommend it from a marketing standpoint mm-hmm. because everything is technical these days. And even children are so brilliant. They're being taught the STEM programs are teaching them well in advance on how to engage technology and use it to enhance our living or our life and purchasing experiences. So this is a way that we want to right now say, hey, take advantage of Bphonics while it's still at this stage. Before it becomes something so tremendous in terms of popularity that all of a sudden, as you know, demand increases pricing. So let's just take advantage of it now.
So for the businesses that are out there that are listening that may want some more information about this, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, the best way, I would strongly suggest you go to the website. I think right now it's more about education. It's more about learning what it is, kind of, you know, browse through the website, get more information. And then once you're there, you'll be able to contact anyone you need from a technical standpoint, from a sales standpoint. They'll be more than happy to assist you in getting exactly what you need for your store. But right now, I really would recommend that you go to the website, which would be www.b, as in boy, phonics, FONICS.com.
I was just thinking of another cool way to use this. Now they're battery operated, so they don't really need a power source other than the battery.
That's correct.
That'd be great for like expos and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like you can just, you have like your booth and then you set your little antenna up, and as people are walking by, I could see a lot of ways that you could use that.
You are right on the money. Trade shows are perfect candidates for this type of technology. And I'll share with you some other types of things that can use these beacons or iBeacon technology creatively. Public transportation. Systems like MARTA, the bus services. Mm. Just recently, I experimented. I did something I've never done before, and that's bus ride. You know, I've been so used to plane. I've never ridden a train before in my life. I always wanted to see what it was like to travel on train. But I took advantage, and this is a plug for a company, I guess. You've seen the new bus that you ride. It's blue, and it has the big man, and it's for a dollar. Have you seen Megabus?
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I decided to do Megabus. I had to take a quick trip, and, you know, catching a flight, like, the next day, the price is ridiculous, and I'm very frugal, and I was not going to give my money away like that. So Megabus tended to, you know, offer a great price. So while I'm on the bus, the one thing I recognize is there was very little advertising on the bus. And this ride was from Atlanta to Washington, D.C., so I was on the bus for at least, 12 hours maybe? Mm. So, and the monitors, they didn't use them to market anything. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, I look around and everybody is on their mobile phone, either watching a movie, texting, Facebooking, tweeting. I mean, they're doing everybody. It's like all the hit. I'm like, look at this. Everybody's on their mobile phone. This is a perfect candidate for the iBeacon technology. Mm-hmm. Why? Number one, it helps them make more revenue. Mm-hmm. Because advertisers can now send their message through Megabus's mobile app, through their antenna, to push to all of their passengers who are on that bus for hours. There you go. You got a captive audience. And so that's one way, public transportation. And then you also have museums. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to exhibits, mm-hmm. they'll send you information about the exhibit. You have hospitals. You know, when you go to the doctor and you have to do a blood test, or, you know, you have other things, quite a few things you have to do within the doctor's visit. Well, it could send a message, your doctor is backed up right now. Why don't you go ahead and go get your blood test done? So you're not waiting, losing, you know, idle time. You have the opportunity to really tell a consumer, enhance the experience, improve the time, things of that nature. So there's so many different things you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more time for the businesses that are out there listening. Give us that website one more time.
Sure. www.bphonics.com. And that's B as in boy, F as in Frank, O N as in Nancy, ICS.com.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Derek, for joining us. And our next guest is Dana Jewel Harris from Next Steps Youth Entrepreneur Program. Thanks for being so patient with us, Dana.
Oh, no, I've learned a lot. This is great.
So tell us about Next Step Youth Entrepreneur Program.
Well, we do three things. We focus on STEM education. We also, and we do that through community gardening, and we go around and speak. We use the garden to teach kids business strategy, and I actually use a bag of chips as my
You
my
know, I read that somewhere. Yeah. I guess everybody can relate to food,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. It's the biggest industry in the world. And if you look literally at a bag of chips, you can see about 50 careers that went into making a bag of chips.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you don't realize until you put it like that.
Exactly. So the kids, while they're, you know, thinking they're just going to get a snack, that's one of the most low intrusive ways to say, wait a minute, before you rip open that bag of hot fries or, you know, Takis, let's look at, you know, how is it designed? Look at the ingredients. Look at, and this is literally the first time kids are actually finding, because they're like, where are the ingredients? So you're adding a lot of educational elements just from that bag of chips. So you're introducing dietitians, health industry, you're introducing transportation, logistics, production, manufacturing, not just growing, but you're introducing technology. Somebody had to design it, so graphic skills. You know, someone had to seal it, so technology and engineers that had to come up with, is this bag light enough? Will it keep air out? How long will it stay on the shelf? Can it travel? Is it heat sensitive? Is it air? You know, it's a whole lot of things that go into making a bag of chips. So you handle the science, the technology, the engineering, and the mathematics when you look at the nutrition side. Someone had to weigh in and say, we put just enough of stuff that's not good for you in this where it won't kill you. And,
Gotta have the disclaimer.
There you go. You got the disclaimer. So, and even when you say disclaimer, they've disclosed these are the ingredients. These are the things that's in here. And you're agreeing because we've disclosed it that from your purchase, you say, all right, I'm buying this at my own risk. So there are a lot of careers that go into making a bag of chips. So I literally have a display and I go around the city with my bag of chips and I'll have other ingredients. Like I'll have like 5 or 6 apple products. I'll have like a bowl of organic apples. I'll have apple cider vinegar, apple juice, apple sauce, apple candy, apple granola bars. And I'll leave it up to the kids or the parents, put them in order from most healthiest to least healthy. And that is our demonstration that talks about preservatives. But, you know, a lot of times people think what's healthy just because it says apple.
Right.
It's apple flavored.
Right.
You
or, you know, I love it when it says no sugar added. And then
right.
you look at the ingredients and there's already 35 grams
exactly.
of sugar in it.
And that's the education.
Yes.
I've just learned just from having kids myself and being a kid and, you know, your sweet tooth is kicking up and then all of a sudden you have a health scare or something and you have this wake up moment. It's like, okay, I can't eat, you know, Haagen-Dazs every day like I used to when I was roller skating 5 nights a week. So now just my own personal, you know, health journey has led me, and then having kids, it's like, okay, what can I do that'll be fun that I can take my kids to and not be the person saying, you have to eat vegetables, and they don't listen to you anyway. But make it fun for them to learn and not just learn at that time. It's like a grenade, you know, it's going to take a while for them to change behaviors. But when they, and the best example is that is when I do the apple demonstration. After it's over, kids are like waiting, can we have what's on the table? And I was like, yeah. And 9 times out of 10, the candy goes first. But after you go through the exercise, you'll see them grab it, and then they'll wait. And it starts registering. Wait a minute. This has all these things I couldn't pronounce. And it's a science project. And some of them actually put it back. And other kids will go for the apples when normally they would go for the candy, or they'll go for the cereal bars or something. But you see, you know, the impact immediately, but you know later on, because I'll get phone calls from parents like, my kids won't eat this, what'd you do to them? You know, they don't want to go to the KFC or something anymore because they said it's going to kill them or something. You know, it's one of those weird things in kids' minds. Once they get it, they really get it, and they want everybody around them to get it too. So it's non-intrusive, it's fun. Mm-hmm. The kids have a great time. We don't charge a lot for the presentations. We are a nonprofit, so you know, it's $100 for us to come, and you know, we do them in sets of 25, so all the kids can engage, because they also learn project management skills. They do exercises, or we'll start a community garden at the school where they'll write us into the grant. And we'll be their technical advisors for the school. So right now we're in 3 schools in DeKalb County, and we've been asked by one of the districts to be the official STEM program, so we're working on that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so we're growing. And if I can give my plug, to visit my website.
Absolutely.
At www.nextstepsyep.org. And we are really excited about just introducing non-traditional ways to introduce kids to STEM careers. The second thing that we do is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And as a logistics specialist, I was in the military for 8 years and I did logistics. And one of my jobs was to pretty much man the shop where we provided everything for everybody. So from bullets to spoons, you know, you work with the quartermasters, you work with the engineers, you manage the war room, and you learn, you know, what people need, and you just become that go-to person. So I just enjoyed it, maybe because I have control issues, I don't know. but being in strategic planning and project management, it allows you to be of service to so many people that it just naturally became a part of my career path. So every job that I've had, I've been the right-hand man to a CEO or CFO. So I've always been at C-level jobs where I'm being that person that will allow the boss to have a bad day and still keep things going, because you have such a big picture idea of what it takes to run a business. So when everyone started talking about STEM, you know, the big part that was missing was STEM administration, the business side of when someone creates a product or someone creates a service. You know, who's going to help that person handle the business side of their business?
Take it to market.
There you go. Yeah. So people like marketers like yourself, mm-hmm. People that handle the behind the scenes. That is what I've always done. Even when I worked at LaFace Records, I was in A&R administration. Everybody likes A&R because that's where you meet the artists and you do all this stuff. But there's a backside to, you know, someone's got to schedule the studio, someone's got to find a producer, someone's got to do this, make sure everybody gets paid. Excuse me. So the administrative side was really more important to me, to make sure when you've got kids that's creating some great things, that they understand there's another side to it, to make sure if you create something for a business or you have a great idea, you know, this could be your trust fund, this could be your college scholarship, but you got to handle the business behind all of your innovation.
Remind me again, one more time, what is STEM again?
STEM, now we do STEM Plus. Okay. So we do science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and humanities. Okay. Because a lot of times, you know, they say the mother of invention is necessity. Did I say that right?
And, sounds good.
Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you, Chris. So when you're usually when people create, it's because somebody needed something. The example that I give kids in classes, and this is really to help them pop their little me bubbles. You know, a lot of times you say, and those who know, and this is what my general, when I first got into the military, he taught me this. He said, those who know a how will always have a job, and those who know why will always be their boss. But you have to find somebody that knows what to do.
I love that.
Yeah. Wow. So when I asked them, what does that mean? You know, they'll say, well, you got to have somebody to how and why, and I know it, but it gets them to start thinking, you know, larger than what's right now. And the example is the garbage man. You know, I asked him, isn't his job important? And he was like, yes. And I'll say, well, is he a how person or is he a why person? And they'll say, he's the how person, which is right. You know, without him, you know, a lot of things wouldn't happen. You know, we have a lot of diseases and things like that.
Sure.
And I'll say, well, who's the why to his how? And they'll say the mayor or the company he works for, and I'm like, no, those are also how people, you know. And after maybe about 10 minutes and, you know, they're like frustrated, it's like, okay, we give up. It goes back to that STEM professional that designed the truck that allows him to do his job, because that truck satisfies the need for why we needed garbage men in the first place. There was an issue, a social issue, where diseases, you know, the aesthetics, it was, you know, all these things, with trash sticks around, a lot of bad things happen. So someone or an engineering team or a STEM team got really smart and said, we've got it, we'll invent something that'll solve all of these problems. And the people that knew what to do are those teams of logistics, the administrators, that said, this is how we're going to use this to where it benefits a great number of people. So you don't have garbage trucks just in Atlanta. They're all over the world. So that invention solved a global problem. So that's kind of how we tie entrepreneurship into STEM, so that kids can kind of say,
the big picture.
It's a big picture.
So moving off of the STEM Plus, you've got the Street of Dreams Science Festival and Career Fair,
yes.
Which is the SODSFCF for short.
Yes, yes. Very excited about that. Just recently, I've been teaching at Grady High School for the last, it's going on my fourth year.
Wow, you do a lot.
I do. And they've been very gracious to let me experiment with their business and entrepreneur pathway. And just recently, last year we did really well. The kids did merchandising, and they have an SBE, which is called a school-based enterprise. And the school-based enterprise is one of the CTSOs, which is a career and technical student organization. Those are national. Georgia has its own CTSO organization, and every county or school district should be implementing these types of programs in their schools. So DECA and FBLA are the two that are at Grady that I, you know, particularly work with. And the school-based enterprise is a 40-year-old program through DECA. And what we did last year, the kids had merchandising, and they sold a lot of chips and things like that. And when the word went out that you had to stop selling sweets and they were taking drinks machines and all these things out of schools, we had to come up with another way for the store to make money. And this year, what we decided to do was change the target from the kids to the teachers. And the teachers usually have a syllabus or something that they have to do, and all the kids have to do projects, which make up a great percent of their grade. So by us attaching to the syllabus now, the kids will provide the supplies that the teachers need the kids to have to do their science projects. So they will buy from the store instead of having their mom go to Target the night before the project is due, like most of the kids do, and they'll be able to service the entire school by, again, being a resource that the entire school can use. So what we decided to do was the kids that go through DECA and that go through the school store, we have kids that are in fashion that can sell their wares there. We have kids in Grady has about 7 CTSOs. So they use the store to sell their products and services, but we wanted to create a larger fundraiser, like a baby Shark Tank. And we wanted to connect them with mentors in the finance industry that are in high demand careers in Georgia, and literally recreate the show that's for any kid that's in a CTSO. And you've come up with something, or any kid that's created a science project, or like HOSA.
Yeah, you know what, Dana? I can't agree with you more, especially on the finance side. You know, it seems like with the schools, even in elementary, you know, they teach the kids, they're teaching them music, they're teaching them gym, they're teaching them art, but they do not teach them finance. And even up and through high school, they can't teach, you know, they're not teaching, you know, kids, financial teenagers, literacy. How to balance a checkbook.
And that's it.
And
that's
it's a big problem. It mm-hmm. really is. So it's great that you're implementing finance.
Well, that's what this Tree Dreams is. Usually what it is focusing on their SWOT analysis. And when you do a SWOT analysis, that's literally...
So what is SWOT analysis?
Oh, I'm sorry. Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. If you're writing a business plan, before you get started, hopefully you meet with a consultant, and next steps is connected with a lot of business consultants. So please, visit our website and let us know if you're an adult, my 30 and up kids, or young adults in college. We help you connect with the right resources, and it'll be basically the kids are presenting. Here's ideas. Here are ideas, and here's the value. And it's because they've learned how to do a budget. They've learned how to source their
very important
their inventory. They've learned how to identify market, and all that is tied to money.
So let me ask you this: Next Step Youth Entrepreneur Program, is it based here in Atlanta? Is this the only chapter that you have? I know you started in 2009, right?
2008, yes.
Or 2008. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
So 2008 you started. Mm-hmm. How far does this program go out? Is it just based here in Atlanta?
We're local in Atlanta. We just reached out to DeKalb County last year.
Okay.
So we have 4 sites in DeKalb County that we started. And one is the DeKalb International Student Center. The other one is the Kittredge Park Nature Preserve, which is a 36-acre nature preserve off of North Druid Hills. We want a playground grant for out there. So
great.
Anybody want to help us build a playground, we need 150 volunteers, mm-hmm. April 25th.
Well, that goes to my next question.
Yeah.
If people do want to volunteer, what's the best way to do that?
Yes, please go to our website, www.nextstepsyep.org. And right on the front page, you'll see for the volunteer opportunity for the playground. But over the last 4 years, we were a huge partner for Hands On Atlanta. So we would place maybe about 1,500 volunteers a year as one of their lead top five. We were in there, recognized in their 2012 annual review.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the annual report. So we were a huge partner with Hands on Atlanta. So we started getting more volunteers. So we do recruit volunteers directly on our website or Volunteer Match. And the White House volunteer site, we have some volunteer opportunities there. So, yeah, so we've been doing some great things. We're growing. We've been approached by Gwinnett County and Decatur, Georgia. And we've had people, we're affiliated with Breakaway, which is a college alternative break system. We've been with them for 4 years. And when kids are on their spring break, they do service learning projects. So we've had kids fly as far from California to come spend a week with us to learn more about how we tie, you know, STEM education and youth entrepreneurship together. But the most important thing are the mentors that we use. We just started our Legacies and Millennials program, and that's where we work with, like I said, high-demand professionals in STEM, and we just ask the volunteers to pay $99 to become a member, and we are starting our digital magazine as an extension of the Atlanta Business Journal. And to make it fun, because a lot of them are doctors and lawyers, and they're very, they're fun people. We try to tie in the package a photo shoot where we pair them with a millennial that's in their line of work, and we do a meetup with them. We're trying to do an article that'll be featured in the ABJ, the Atlanta Business Journal, and have them go to the schools, because the kids were saying, at the schools we have colleges come to talk to us, and we have the military, but we never have mentors come to us directly. So that's what we've been doing, just really getting the individual businesses that they want to meet or be like to come and talk with the kids.
So yes, at Girl Scouts, we have a similar initiative. We have something coming up in the beginning of June called Camp CEO, where we partner female business executives with young ladies. They're primarily teen girls on one of our five campsites. And so it gives the female executives a wonderful opportunity to inspire and to mentor young girls while also giving the girls an opportunity to really pass on some of the some of their youth, some of the social media skills and things that they have to those women. So it's a fabulous opportunity. And what's so exciting about it is that it's on one of our five campsites. We have five camps in Northwest Georgia, as well as two a little south of Atlanta, and one about 15 minutes outside of Atlanta where our offices are, Camp Timber Ridge. And what we find is that girls that get a chance to go camping and have an opportunity to try things that they've never done before. We have nature trails, we have zip lining, we have canoeing, we have archery and challenge courses. When they have an opportunity to try something that they've never done before, and they get back and realize, I can do things that I didn't think that I could do, and they overcome fear. When they get back in traditional settings, we find that it really changes who they are. So we're excited about this Camp CEO opportunity that's coming up for a small number, but with our campsites all across Georgia, we have an opportunity for girls and their mothers and sometimes their families to camp year-round. And so we really want people to know that that's a big part of Girl Scouting.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a lot of stuff in common.
Yeah, really. I was about to say, if you like, and that's what I've learned, next steps when we create these outdoor spaces or we create programs, it benefits organizations like Girl Scouts. We've worked with several, and I just learned that if we create this space, then we support nonprofits like the Girl Scouts that need a space. And like I said, Kittredge Park can be another site for you to do that. And if you'd like to recruit at our Street of Dreams, it's going to be May 29th at Georgia Tech. They've been an awesome partner. And Atlanta Cares, which is our mentoring program. So they make sure the mentors and are on the up and up. And they help us with that. So we would love to, you know, continue to partner.
Absolutely.
Or partner with you guys and make sure that you meet your mission as well.
Business leaders of today are just making all kinds of connections
in
our
community,
aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Dana, I want to say thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If we have people, obviously, that are interested in wanting to learn more about next steps, you know, whether it be mentoring or, you know, just need more information, what's the best way to contact you?
Please, it's always best to go to the website. We have a ton of information on there, www.nextstepsyep.org. My contact information is DJ Harris at nextstepsyep.org. And it's just the easiest way is to go to the website. We have our team information on there.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank
and
you.
I'd also like to thank Vicky with Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta and Derek with Biphonics. Thank you, everyone, for coming in today. And if you missed any part of our show or would like to be a guest on one of our upcoming shows, you can check us out on iTunes or businessleaders.businessradiox.com. I'm Chris Horn, co-founder of VocalLogic, and
I'm Tess Turin with CBS Local Media. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks for tuning in.